Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Alpharetta, Georgia, it's time for Alpharetta Business Radio, spotlighting the area's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Okay, we're live now. Chris Deekel with Business Radio X, Alpharetta Station. We have two great people in the studio with us today. We have Todd Burkholder with Ashworth and Sullivan, who are wealth management specialists, and we have Yvonne Reiner with Uber Trade, helping businesses market their business and do it without exchanging cash, as I understand it. Yvonne, you want to tell us all about that?
Sure. Bartering is actually a very old concept. It's been around for thousands of years, and most people barter and don't even realize it. Years ago, a farmer could have traded his eggs for his neighbor's pig, or you may have worked for your coworker and then bought him lunch the next week. It even extends into everyday household. There could be a mom carpooling, and then the woman that she's helping out is automatically thinking, gee, how can I pay her in return? I mean, this happens every day. But it also happens every day in the entrepreneurial world and the corporate world. And that's what we do.
That's interesting. I didn't even realize there was a service like that. Who do you work with, and how do you work with them?
We work with hundreds of small and medium businesses. But barter also exists in the corporate world as well. It's simply the process of trading your products and services for other products and services without cash. And just an incredible way to save money and take more to the bottom line.
Yeah, and explain how that works.
If you, let's say you are a printer and you trade your printing services, and then you earn trade dollars instead of cash, and you use those trade dollars to then buy in within the exchange anything that you may need. The printer may want some advertising or a vacation.
I think the next question is, how many years will I get when IRS finds out?
You know, that is a very common question, and that is one of the things that exchanges do. They legitimize it. The tax implications are really beneficial. You receive a 1099-B for any income that you earn because a trade dollar is the equivalent of a cash dollar in the eyes of the IRS. But the beauty of it is everything you buy that is for your business is an expense. So what you want to do is really buy as much as you sell, and then it's cost neutral.
I mean, if I take the cruise on Carnival, you know, cruise lines, God forbid it should be the last one, or catch one of those cruises, that's not a business expense.
No, you would have to deduct your personal expenses.
I had that one all figured out.
That's called beating the system there.
Well, you should have a shot at it anyway. So how does this work? How do people, you know, actually get involved in bartering? It sounds like, I mean, it would be very awkward to try to do it on your own.
That is the biggest difference with an exchange. Most of your bartering that people think of is one-on-one. You give me this and I'll trade you that. But with an exchange, the beauty of it is you pay it forward. You offer your services. You get paid in trade dollars. You can spend them immediately, or you can save them up. You may be saving for that big vacation or some larger expenses that really happens every day. So you get the choice of who you want to choose from.
Beautiful concept. I love it.
Yeah.
I've actually seen it in action.
Really?
I have a friend who's a business owner, owns a hair salon, the Strand Hair Salon in Johns Creek, and I know that she utilizes and has benefited from services just like that.
No kidding. Well, we have a testimonial on air.
I get my hair done on barter.
Yeah. Did you do that just like you practiced? I am curious. How does a business get involved in this? And, you know, if I have to find the other party on my own, sounds like that would be really tough to go around and say, would you like to trade, printing for a hairdo?
Very good question. One of the things we have done is to facilitate that trade and to make it as easy as possible and to try to mirror exactly what anyone does when they're buying anything. I mean, generally, you go to the internet first and you look up what you're looking for, any product or service you're looking to buy. And then you want to find out who else has bought this service. And, you know, do they have a website? How do they look on their social media? What are their ratings? And we provide this online. We give a business a profile and let people rate each other so you can make a good business decision.
I see. Excuse me. Do you obviously have a website that facilitates this?
Yes.
Where can people find that, by the way?
It's ubertrade.com.
An interesting business. How did you come to be in it?
We have a condo in Florida, and it stays well rented in the summer, and it sits empty in the winter. And a friend of ours turned us on to the concept of bartering, and we loved it. It didn't take us long to realize how beneficial it was. It put an extra $20,000, $30,000 in our pocket in a year. But we felt that we could take it to a new level, an Uber level, and we fueled it with technology.
Love it.
I see. How long have you been doing this?
4 years now.
Yeah, and you said we. Who is the we?
I have a partner, my husband, and he's the CEO. And I handle more the marketing side. And we have a team. And we've been successful. So we look forward to, right now, we're predominantly in Metro Atlanta. But we do have plans to grow it nationwide.
Is it a local thing? I mean, does it have to operate like city by city, or are there things that you can trade over anywhere in the world?
Both. It's best to grow contiguously because even though there's many services that are virtual, certain advertising, website services, it doesn't matter where you are, you can buy those types of services. But people also like to enjoy local restaurants and hair salons. That's a very good question. You have to have really both types of businesses.
Yeah, so, there are two kind of components to it. One are the local things that sound more like personal services or things that you can take advantage of. That you should be reporting as income and not as a business expense. I mean, I'm fairly sure, unless you're taking, your prospect to lunch, that you can't write that one off as a business expense. And, well, it's probably been done in the history of business. One of the questions I have is, does bartering take away from your cash sales in a business? Is there a downside to this?
No, absolutely not. In fact, most of our barter members enjoy additional cash sales because generally with any business, your best type of new business generally comes from referrals. Well, a barter customer is going to give a referral just as a cash customer will. Just the other day, I had my lawn done through a barter member. And my neighbor across the street, who's retired, he picked up the phone and said, "Your yard really looks great. Who are you using?" And he got a year-round cash customer from that.
Interesting. It's a great way to get customers, is what you're saying, in addition to the usual things you do. And you wouldn't really think of barter as being a way to attract customers. But in fact, it is.
It really works well for new businesses, too, that are looking to promote their business and gain new exposure. They probably have the most capacity to barter. But then even mature businesses, they have the option to decide when they want to barter and when they don't. If it's season for a hotel, they just don't barter over those days.
What's the cost of barter? I assume you're charging something here.
The true cost of barter really comes down to the wholesale cost for any business. For example, take a hotel. If a hotel is selling an unsold room, and for simplification purposes, let's say $100. And if that room's going to go empty, that's really just missed money on the table. But they shouldn't have to consider heat, light, and power in their cost because they're going to pay that anyway. They would just consider variable cost, like what are they paying for the maid to clean the room? So their cost may be as low as $5 if that maid takes 30 minutes or 15 minutes to clean a room. And as far as the exchange is concerned, it's very nominal. There's a 6% trade transaction fee that the buyer and seller pays when you trade. There's a low $10 a month charge and a one-time lifetime membership fee, and all our members get that back within their first trade. So it's extremely nominal.
Yeah, low-cost way to get, you know, new businesses, pay attention. It's an inexpensive way for you to advertise yourself where all you're doing is trading services and gaining customers.
You know, if I can interject, as a business owner myself, I will tell you most people spend more than that on marketing alone anyways to gain new customers. So nominal cost.
You know, they spend it, and they may not gain new customers.
Absolutely.
This way you're guaranteed you've got at least one.
Absolutely.
Unless you're really bad.
Yeah, our members are saving thousands of dollars and just taking it to the bottom line.
Yeah, is there a limit to how much barter a company should do?
It really varies depending on the company and depending on, you know, if it's a professional services type of business like a CPA or an attorney, they're going to trade up their unbillable hours. And, you know, that can be anywhere from 5% to 30%. I'd say that's probably a good range.
Is this something that a nonprofit could use?
Yes, I'm glad you asked. We support nonprofits, and that's in our mission as well. I mean, our mission at UberTrade is for businesses, individuals, and nonprofits to help each other gain more margin and to do that with trade. We have about 30 nonprofits, 501c3s. We allow them to trade for free. And we also encourage our for-profit members to donate trade dollars to them.
How does a nonprofit do they have to qualify? Are they a particular type of 501c3 that you're working with, or can any 501c3 nonprofit?
We really haven't limited it, but it's very, very interesting. We've got a wide variety, and we so enjoy getting involved with our nonprofits. Can I share a couple things
Absolutely.
We have coming up? Okay, great. We have one nonprofit called Adoption Discovery, and they support adoption in the Atlanta area. And any opportunity at all that we can sponsor them. Some nonprofits are not in a position where they can offer anything for trade, and others do. Like this nonprofit is offering some sponsorships on trade, and they are having a very exciting event. I believe it is April 30th, and it is a they have the best of the best chefs in Atlanta offering up their desserts. And again, it's Adoption Discovery. We are one of their sponsors. Chick-fil-A is a sponsor, Channel 11. And so it's a good event if you're interested. I believe it's bestdesserts.org.
Dieters, pay attention.
Yes.
Yeah, your excuse to go eat fattening food for a good cause.
Everybody needs a good excuse for that.
Everybody needs one. If a nonprofit wanted to contact you and find out how they could use your service, how would they do that?
Just call 877-877-UBER, UBER, or email ubertrade.com is our website. And I'd be happy to help them and get them engaged.
That sounds really you know, like a very different kind of way to not only promote your business but potentially help charities and people that you would love to support and contribute to it. So I mean, there are all kinds of things you can do, including take some of your I gather, barter dollars and contribute them to the nonprofit so they can use it.
Exactly, and we encourage that. We have another nonprofit called For My Sisters, and it's for single moms in need, and it's in the local area here in North Atlanta. And the women make jewelry and sell their jewelry on trade, and they earn dollars, and they may use it for mechanic repairs for their cars, manicures to get their nails done if they have an interview. So it's a worthy organization.
That sounds like a wonderful program. And again, to get in touch with Uber Trade and get in touch with you, Yvonne.
Thank you. 877-877-UBER.
And you your website?
UberTrade.com.
That's UberTrade.com.
Yes, Chris, thank you.
Gosh, you know, I did go to school and it paid off. I may get my high school diploma just any time now. Well, if we can turn to you, Todd. Todd Burkholder is Ashworth and Sullivan Wealth Managers, and you're a financial planner and have been for 16 years and actually have started a couple of those firms. So welcome, Steve.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me here, Chris. It's great to be in the studio and share with you a little bit about what we do.
Absolutely. I'd love to know. There are all kinds of misconceptions about financial planners and that they're all created equal, but they're not really, are they?
No, they're not. Probably one of the biggest misconceptions that I think that I've seen throughout my career is confusing a financial planner more with a salesperson. And, what we do is true planning. We help people accomplish the things that they want to accomplish, and we provide a great service.
Yeah. Now, in terms of financial planners, I understand there are two different flavors. There's a fee paid, and then there's a commission based. Can you explain what that is?
That's right. Yeah, there's again, kind of like the earlier comment. There's a lot of times that advisors are paid solely on commissions, and that does put them a little more in the realm of a salesperson or a commission salesperson. And again, I guess sometimes it could bring into question. It could bring into question someone's motives. Our goal and desire is, as we take people through our planning process, our whole goal and desire is to go through that entire process and literally at the end it being no out-of-pocket cost to that person. That could be done through recapturing of fees that they were paying, commissions and other expenses that might have been too high, taxes that they could have been paying that were too excessive, et cetera.
So, what happens if somebody doesn't use a financial planner?
Well, I think a lot of times it comes down – actually, I think everybody does use a financial planner. Sometimes they just use a professional one or they choose themselves as such. And there's certainly people that are capable of doing it. But, we sit around in our offices and we have years and years of educational background in our field. And we try to help people with – answering that primary question that I think a lot of people have, and everybody I think even has it at one point or another, am I doing all the right things with my money? And so to work without a professional, I would indicate that probably at some level is going to probably create confusion. Sometimes it creates additional stress in your life that I think could be avoided just by using services that ultimately you're probably going to end up paying for anyways, because a lot of the products that people go out and purchase on their own, there's fees and costs associated and baked into those things as well.
So, I made the mistake time of not using a financial planner, and I support
shame
that.
Shame on
comment.
You, and you seem so smart and intelligent as I was listening
but
to
I
your
story.
But I
did get smart, and I do have one now. I mean, it's just like, if you have an ailment, you go to the doctor. If your tooth is hurting, you go to a dentist.
Absolutely,
and so if you need...
or you could try to treat it yourself.
And that doesn't work.
You're saying you shouldn't do your own appendectomy.
And maybe not. Maybe not.
Definitely made more money with a financial planner.
Right.
When you're looking for a financial planner, what should you be looking for?
I think you need to really get with a group of people that your personality just fits with as well. I think a lot of times people do associate going to their financial advisor. Unfortunately, they associate it with things like going to the dentist or going to the doctor. It seems like an unpleasant event. One of the things that I've strived throughout my career to do is to allow it to be an enjoyable process. Because, again, this is your money, this is your life that you're working through, and it doesn't have to be monotonous or boring. We can make it fun. And so the first thing, you know, again, personality, but then look at the background of the people, look at their credentials, look at all the different partners that they have in the firm. Where do their expertise lie? Because one of the things is I actually coach advisors, have coached and still do coach advisors throughout these past 16 years. And it's unfortunate when you see a firm that is just, they hold themselves out maybe to be financial planners, advisors, et cetera, but they really can't connect all the dots. They only do certain pieces of the puzzle. And so a firm, to me, a good household firm is one that can cover everything from taxes to wealth management, portfolio management, to insurances, et cetera.
And tax planning, all that sort of
thing. All that stuff, yeah.
Yeah. Now, I understand you focus very heavily on serving a family, and many times those families own businesses, and you really go at some depth to really understand their goals and where they're headed.
We do, Chris. We spend a great deal of time with the people that we serve, and that is getting to know them, getting to know what their hopes and dreams and desires are, and really helping them to accomplish those things, both as a family and maybe even as a business owner as well. Because really, one of the reasons why a person creates a business is to impact their family and to help them and to grow and to accomplish the things family-wide that they want to. And so it takes getting to know that person, getting to know what they want, and you know, hopefully a lot of times we get to the level of comfort with that client of helping them accomplish things on a bigger, broader scope, going into helping them create foundations, create charities, create things that their business can continue to impact for years and years to come, that it impacts more than just themselves and their own families.
Yeah.
That's the rewarding part of my work.
I'll bet.
Yep.
Yeah. Now, one of the questions I have is, do I have to be, owner of the Trump Empire to need a financial planner? Or
no, but it's encouraged. No, Chris, that's a great question. Yeah, a lot of times people will look and think, well, I don't have enough yet to need that service, or one day when I do have enough, I will try to get in to see somebody like that. And, you know, I believe that we can assist people where they're at. And, again, going back to that central question that a lot of people ask, this, you know, am I doing all the right things with my money? And, you know, people with a whole lot of money ask that question, and people that are just getting started do as well. And so, you know, far be it from me to label somebody or make it a judgment call on where they're at.
So you're saying if you have any investable cash at all, you should be talking to a financial planner.
I think it's worth the conversation, sure.
Yeah, it may not be exactly right timing, but you'll know when it is.
Yeah, we can point you in the right direction. Whether we continue on, you know, what that relationship looks like could be different, but certainly you should have that conversation.
Now, you've been in this industry for 16 years.
Yes.
So you've seen some really good things happen, and you've seen some really bad things happen to people in their assets. What are your horror stories? Either with financial planners or because they didn't use one.
Yeah, a lot of times what we've seen throughout the years is people, probably the biggest horror stories do come when people, maybe they are seeking advice and yet they don't take it. A lot of times, they're wanting to roll the dice, and unfortunately greed sometimes plays a factor into that. And we saw a lot of that in the late 90s with the technology and things that we were giving people counsel to do different things. And again, unfortunately, they just saw the sky was the limit and didn't heed advice. And so that sometimes creates the worst stories.
It just wipes them out. I mean, they have everything riding on it, and it doesn't work.
Right, that's right. And the lack of professional use of a money manager in those situations limits what you can do, because the average person's not going to know how to put hedging strategies in to know that there's still money to be made even when the market can go down, and you can protect against those massive losses.
Now, that's interesting, because that's sort of one of the great advantages of having a financial planning company like yourself, where you have, you know, not your, just yourself, but many others in the firm with a depth of information who sit around and talk about what does this bubble, is this a bubble,
sure,
or where is this in the cycle?
Yeah, and again, in being with Ashworth and Sullivan Wealth Management Group, the thing that's impressed me the most being with this firm is the consistency that they continually monitor, try to eke out, everything that they possibly can for the families and the people that we serve. It's impressive.
That's great counsel, because so many people end up years and years and years later realizing, you know, that their retirement program looks like another 10 years at Walmart saying, welcome.
Right. Yeah. Unfortunately, that's the joke or the comedy we hear a lot.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think it's at least worth the conversation to get involved and see if there's a chance for you to do things differently than you're currently doing. Because the worst case to me is when you see somebody living with some air of regret and not having done something that maybe they had wanted to.
Absolutely. So what do you tell small business owners?
Work hard. It's one of the most rewarding things I think that a person can do in their business life is to control their own destiny. But you also need to take a little bit of that Stephen Covey type approach with, you begin with the end in mind, and there's things that you can do today to create an exit strategy for your business so that you can sell it or exit it or live the life for the balance of your life in the most favorable fashion that you wanted to and not be forced into a situation. So things like that can be anything from putting in continuation plans for your business, succession plans, that involves people, that involves money, that involves insurances. So there's a number of different things that should be done at the very onset of a business and drawing up all the documents correctly and having everything just done appropriately so that when the end, and there will be an end, comes, it's either under your terms or other terms. When that comes, it's under the most favorable circumstance.
Your advice goes beyond just, you know, how to make money. It's also how to plan for the future, the things you need to consider, and you've got people that can help the owners. You know, if you're not, it's not one.
Yeah, one of the goals of our one of the goals is to keep your money too, and not to allow it to escape out of through litigation, through fees from attorneys or other wealthy people coming in and really creating possibly damage to your financial life.
And you have strategies that you can impart to people and how to ameliorate that, if not totally avoid it.
Absolutely, yep.
So it sounds like a great firm, Todd. If people want to get in touch with you, how do they do that?
There's one of the things I love doing, probably even love it too much, is through social media. I'm very active in terms. You can follow me on Twitter, at Todd Burkhalter on Twitter. LinkedIn's a great business resource to connect with people. My personal website is toddburkhalter.com, and of course our firm website is ashworthsullivan.com. So a host of different places that you can keep in touch and join in the conversation.
So now, you know, we've given you a way to save money with barter. We've given you a way to hang on to it with wealth planning. What more could you possibly want besides winning the Powerball?
Great combination.
That's right.
Well, you know, it has been really fun having you on today, and thanks
so
much,
Chris,
for being with us.
Thank you.